It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. Time for the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by WaveTech Medical. Catch the wave online today, wavetechknoxville.com. John Tyler is in with news and information. Hello, John.
Hello, Russell. Yes. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Number one, Tennessee baseball went down to Texas, and I remind you, a state that is only a state because of Tennessee, and we bent the number one team in the country, Texas Tech, number 25 team in the country, Stanford and Houston, over a barrel and showed them all 50 states. The sleeping giant that is Tennessee baseball has awoken, my friends.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
And the rest of college baseball and the SEC better take notice. The baseball Vols are coming to your campus, and they're going to destroy you.
We're coming to your city.
They're going
to
crush your hopes and dreams. And then for good measure, Tony Vitello is going to take your mothers out to a nice steak dinner.
Jeez.
Make sweet love to them and then never call them again. Coach your team, Meat Stick.
We're a baseball school. Why the mothers? Why the moms? Why not like girlfriends?
Because it's better.
It's better.
Your mom?
It's going to take all their moms out to a nice steak dinner.
Yeah. If there's like guys like us listening in rival towns, their moms are in their like 50s or 60s. Tony Vitello, he wants to date.
He doesn't discriminate.
Young ladies.
He's not an ageist.
Makes it a lot worse. You got destroyed, you'd be.
So
Kirby Smart came in here.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, is he
winding down your mom, Russ?
Does he take
pissed you off?
You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. I don't understand. Does he take their mothers out after the game or like before, and then he gets there for first pitch,
you wouldn't want Kirby Smart to be your stepdaddy?
Excuse me?
Stepdaddy Kirby.
No, I wouldn't like that. It would be really bad.
Well, we're a baseball school.
Form an emo band and talk about my complicated relationship with my stepdad, Kirby Smart.
This has gotten really awkward.
Bear's giggling. I'm kind of I'm awkward now.
Number two, John.
Number two.
Yeah, it's awkward. After you just went on a rant about how our baseball coach is going to come out there and
he's not taking your mother.
That resulted in me telling
Russ. But he will if he wants to. He's Tony Vitello.
Number
two.
A career-high 28 points from senior Jordan Bowden wasn't enough to push the Tennessee men's basketball team past 13th-ranked Auburn as the Vols fell 73-66 inside Auburn Arena on Saturday. Tennessee fell to 15-12 overall, 7-7 in SEC play. Bowden scored his 28 points on 9-of-12 shooting from the field, and he was 7-of-7 from the foul line. The Vols continue their two-game road swing when they head to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas on Wednesday night. Tip-off is set for 8:30 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. And, guys, there's breaking news. We have breaking news.
We need to go to the breaking news desk.
Tennessee basketball breaking news.
That was impressive how you made it from the news desk to the breaking news desk so quickly, John.
Yes. Okay. Hold on. Let me catch my breath. Okay. Rick Barnes has just called a timeout.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, man?
Just called a timeout.
That's
number three.
There's not even any context to it.
No.
It's just
he called a timeout. He's got a couple. He had a couple left after Saturday.
That is pathetic.
That's coach.
Pathetic.
Number three. You're welcome. Tennessee held off in-state rival Vanderbilt on Sunday afternoon, winning in Thompson Bowling Arena 67-63. Junior forward Renai Davis led Tennessee, posting a double-double with 18 points and 10 rebounds. Freshman guard Jordan Horston was close behind with 16 points, while sophomore forward Ray Burrell finished with 12 and 9. Lady Vols will play their final home game of the season Thursday against Ole Miss at 7 p.m. for senior night. We'll see if Ole Miss can score more than 4 points.
Go, Lady Vols.
Your thoughts, Hayden?
What?
Let's get it. Let's get another W.
Yeah.
Get into that NCAA tournament, back where we belong.
That's right. Number four.
Wow. Okay.
Tennessee finished the 20.
A little slow for you, Bear? You not enjoying the top four this afternoon?
Yeah, it's kind of been a train wreck, but finished strong, John.
You didn't like Vitello taking out Russ's mother to a nice steak dinner?
No, that led to a funny moment on the show.
Thank you.
Your weird breaking news thing was kind of strange, but
go ahead. It was perfect.
Finish up.
Tennessee finished the 2020 SEC Swimming and Diving Championships with their first ever SEC championship. The Lady Vols captured 11 medals, 8 gold, 2 silver, and 1 bronze. Dominate in swimming and diving.
Tiger blood, winning. They're winning, Russ.
Good, man.
That's what I expect.
And championships again here.
The men's team needs to step it up over there.
The Fulmer effect, right?
Yeah.
We're working like heck.
You know, I've been over there. Pretty cool indoor facility.
I used to swim at the old one all the time back in the day.
What's the highest you ever went off on the boards?
Did
you go off the platforms?
No.
The middle one?
No.
You didn't go off either the middle one?
No, I mean, I went off the small, like, diving boards.
Yeah, let's go off the top one when I was a kid.
You went off that thing?
Hell yeah.
I don't believe you. No, you
don't. No, you can talk to anybody. This is one thing. I have no fear of jumping out as long as there's water.
Wait. First of all, no, I can't talk to anybody. I can't go and, like, hunt down all your childhood chums that you swam with at the
half of them listen
Aquatic
our show.
Center back in the 1970s. No, I can't do that. But
you just go. Let's just change the subject because you're getting ready to do your thing where you crap all over a childhood memory, and I'm going to get pissed and probably sabotage at least 2 or 3 segments before the end of the show.
I'm just saying I don't believe you. I don't think you would jump off.
We get it. I don't know about now.
Why? What's the difference?
About 40 years of like major league back and neck issues. I wouldn't want to get
like you just jump feet first. You're going to be fine. It's
like
not
a pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when your feet hit the water, it still jams everything. You understand that water is really hard to land on.
Yeah, but you're not that high up. See, this is I don't believe you did it because I don't think it would be that jarring from that distance.
What's the highest you've ever – you don't even like deep water, Russ.
This is the difference between me and you is I wouldn't do it then and I wouldn't do it now. I'm not going to pose like I actually did it.
No, I did
it then.
You're
a poser.
You wouldn't jump off like an old
sit here and acting like you're Greg Louganis or something.
I never said I was Greg Louganis, but I jumped off the damn thing. You're full of crap. You're full of crap.
All right, go do it.
You're number one in my book. I'm not. I told you I'm not doing it now, you jackass.
I kind of stand by Bear. I think you jumped off the middle one.
See, you do whatever you want. I'm not the one who has to wear a nose clip and floaties just to go down on the damn local Y.
That's pretty good. I don't think you jump off the... off the little
springboard
at the local pool, a little 2-footer.
We'll find out this summer. Can you tread water in 12 feet in the 12 feet? No, you get scared.
Like what's the difference between 12 feet?
Because you told me God only knows why you would tell me this that you had a fear of deep water.
I'm comfortable in my own skin. So I share things and I don't lie.
So if it goes from 8 feet to 12 feet, you won't go any further?
Sets me free. Each day and every day.
Okay.
So confused.
Who would win in a race swimming?
Oh,
Russ right now. Russ.
Russ could be so scared to get out of the deep end.
Fear is a great motivator.
I know.
I'll admit that. I'll admit that. I mean, look at him. He's a beanpole. He's lithe
and
wiry.
In great physical condition.
I wouldn't go that far.
Had a excellent workout this morning at Workout Anytime over there on the corner of Paper Mill and Kingston Pike.
Did you see Chance?
I did not.
He's in there apparently all the time.
He's in there. I was talking to the folks. They say he's one of the stars in there. He's always strutting around with his feathers puffed out.
Oh, yeah. You go in there soon. Chance will probably be leading a spin class. Did you take a spin class with Chance?
I would take a spin class with Chance.
I don't think you could do a spin class with
Chance. I don't
think
I could.
Charge.
I mean, I don't think I'd make it through. No, I'm not.
He'd call you out.
I'm in decent, better shape than you.
Well, yeah.
Calmer than you.
I wouldn't go that far.
Who do you think is in best physical condition in this room? I mean, it's between me and Hayden Wallen, right?
No.
Whoa.
It's probably Tyler.
What?
I think Hayden's young, former high school athlete.
Yeah, but Hayden hadn't figured out. A couple of us have talked about it. A couple of the bigger guys at the station have talked about it. You haven't come to the realization you aren't playing high school football anymore. You need to change your
eating.
That's
hurtful.
Oh,
wow.
We do it out of love. We're saying it out of love, kid. I said it was a couple of the big guys at the station. We don't want to see you fall into the same trap that we did.
I think Hayden could
as if that makes it any better. Like the skinny guys were talking about.
I think Hayden would take care of everybody.
Does that make it better?
No. I think Hayden take care of anybody in the fight. Anybody in wrestling? Yes. Anybody in the game of football in the trenches? In the trenches.
Well, that, I mean, that's just you're in La La Land now.
Why?
You just are.
You think you could block Hayden?
No.
Hayden, how what are you about 6 foot, 6'1", 6 foot? 6 foot flat.
You think you'd take McClure?
240? 50?
275. 270.
Okay, so
pure muscle.
Yeah, you 6 foot, his ass.
6 foot, 270, Hayden Wan. You think you can block him, Bear?
No, but I think I think McClure would take him on a board drill. Do you want to bang heads with McClure on the board drill?
I think I'd take Hayden in Oklahoma drill.
I would take Hayden.
No, I'm not talking about Oklahoma. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
You want to do a board drill with Cody McClure?
No.
Didn't think so.
Oh, my money's on Hayden.
That's your only problem is lack of confidence.
Yeah.
He knows.
You're a physical specimen. You're like Tyson Fury over there. I mean, shout out to Tyson Fury striking a blow for all us dad bods out there. All of us guys who, we take our shirt off and look in the mirror getting dressed in the morning are like, oh, God, this is not good. But Tyson Fury shows that even though that physique that you see in the mirror every morning might be laughing back at you these days, you can still go out there and get the job done. Heavyweight champion of the world.
He's got a nice set of pipes on him, too.
Tyson Fury. Yeah, man.
Did you hear him after the game? Good rendition of American Pie.
Pretty good rendition.
I don't know, man. I thought that all to me was really weird. Like, once you take the step of looking borderline like possessed by the devil and you lick your opponent's blood off his bare neck.
He said he was going to do that 3 months ago.
I don't find anything cute or funny about you after that. I mean, he's a hell of a fighter, but you're pretty much a weirdo in my book. I mean,
Mike Tyson bit a dude's ear off and he celebrated.
Yeah, it's not like I won't celebrate Tyson Fury, but I don't want to be around him. He's a weird dude.
Just wanted something to memorize the game.
He just wanted to live up to his namesake.
The reptilian-like flickering of the tongue on, that poor Bammer's neck. God, he beat the living crap out of him.
Well, I look forward to the rematch. Deontay will come back.
No, he won't. The only reason he won the first fight was because he had that one punch where he knocked Fury down. I went back and watched it.
He'll be back in the third fight.
Do we want to see? Do we want to see that now? Do we want to
really
see that again?
If you want to see it or not, you're getting it. He has 30 days. I don't know. He's not turning down that rematch.
I want to see Fury fight Joshua.
It's
I want
been
to
a
see
long
him
time.
Shut him up.
I don't know that I've ever seen a fighter. Other than maybe Tyson opponents when Tyson was in his prime, I've seen, like, Wilder looked terrified.
He looked terrified after he got knocked right on top of the head and his equilibrium was gone the second round.
He looked scared from the
get-go. You got to give him some credit for staying in that fight until the eighth round.
I mean, he's a complete maniac, but, I mean, I don't know how he was standing up. He was. I thought they should have called the fight earlier than they did.
I thought fifth round.
His legs were wobbling. Think once he started hemorrhaging blood out of his ear.
Yeah, but he didn't bust an eardrum. He just had a cut. That's what they reported. Dan Raphael reported that.
I'm old school. I think you could have let it go. I think you could have let it go a little longer.
He'd have had brain damage. Fury was getting ready to unload
on
his head.
If you're worried about brain damage, I think we're past that point probably. Let's be real.
He won 42 fights in a row. He drops one. Okay, cool. He'll be back.
He got his ass kicked Saturday night. All I know is, that Dreamland barbecue eating Bama loving turd got flushed.
Flushed. I love it.
Roll down tide.
It's a little aggressive.
Y'all are pathetic.
Oh. I mean, y'all.
Y'all.
You got an American versus a Brit, and you root for the Brit.
No, a Bama.
No, we've got a Brit versus a Bammer.
We don't consider Alabama to be part of America proper.
Nope.
Really?
No, it's more like a territory.
Whew, but you'll sure go to bat for that head coach over there about 2 miles away from here.
Yeah, we liberated him.
Right.
We saved him.
Right.
Liberated him.
He was like a puppy at the pound that we rescued.
Okay. But all them great Alabama players. That...
How much money you lose on the fight, Trey? You sound a little hot, a little salty.
I mean, I've got to go here, Trey. You've got a lot to answer for.
How much?
$100
How much? $100
Yeah.
You put on my bookie.
Yeah. I lost more just between friends.
Trey, you owe someone an apology, bud.
I don't owe anybody an apology.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Russ?
Who the hell do I owe an apology to?
You owe me an apology.
So, I was driving in my car on Friday afternoon, Trey.
Oh, God.
I did call Tennessee could beat Auburn, by the
way. No, it's not what I'm talking about. You did call that. You were wrong.
That's almost right. This.
I think that outside perception is that Philip Fulmer was a lion cheat, but in the statement, the way he's endeared himself.
Wait, whoa.
Pulled the audio.
Outside perception is that Philip Fulmer was what?
A lying cheat.
A lying cheat?
Yeah.
Whose perception was that?
That'd be the state of Alabama, Florida, Georgia.
No. Come on. You're from Alabama.
I am.
I'll say in Trey's defense, he said the outside perception. He didn't say that was his opinion.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
We're working like heck.
I mean, all hell's getting ready to break loose.
How the hell do I owe Russell an apology?
You don't owe Russell one.
Oh, you want me to apologize to Philip Fulmer on Wednesday when he comes on the show?
That would be the appropriate time.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You can go ahead and put that in the bag. Tuck that away real nice for some time down the road when you need it. State of Alabama loves Philip Fulmer. The state of Florida loves Philip Fulmer. They think nothing but nice things.
It was Superior that turned Alabama in on that.
Oh, okay.
Spurrier admitted it.
I think Fulmer was involved in it, too.
Absolutely was.
Are we really going to re-litigate all of this?
Well, I mean, I'm not around, and, I feel like shots are being taken at the battle, captain.
You just wanted to take a bite because you weren't there. So you want to take a bite.
Well, hell yeah, you're talking about the damn battle captain, Trey. What'd you think I was going to do?
You think I'm the greatest coach in Tennessee football history? Personally talking about the battle captain, Coach Fulmer.
Yeah. It's been Derek Dooley noted.
We're working like heck.
That's cool. It's been Butch Jones equated.
That's inexcusable.
Let's take a quick break. Top four. Brought to you by WaveTech Medical. Gentlemen, if you're struggling with the onset of ED, if this condition is getting progressively worse, if it is wreaking havoc on your love life, then you need to call WaveTech Medical right here in Knoxville. Ask about acoustic wave therapy and how it can reverse this annoying condition. WaveTech uses its FDA-cleared machine to improve blood flow, rejuvenate nerve fibers, and cause the migration of stem cells to the area of concern. WaveTech's acoustic wave treatment is 100% non-invasive. No pills, no injections. It is pain-free. The best part is it's not a Band-Aid fix either. WaveTech fixes the underlying issues associated with ED, and there's not another clinic in this area that offers this clinically proven and FDA-cleared acoustic wave therapy. If ED is causing you relationship problems, then call 865-761-4401 today. That's 761-4401, or just go online to WaveTechKnoxville.com to set up your free consultation. WaveTechKnoxville.com. Catch the wave today and experience a renewed lifestyle with WaveTech Medical. Quick timeout. Your phone call's coming up. Stay with us. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive is back.
It's hysterical. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Coming up Wednesday, we'll be live at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike in West Knoxville. Tax time, let them file your tax return. You can use as much of it as you like. Down payment on a new ride at Old Ben Franklin Motors, online at oldbenfranklinmotors.com. Get set to go to the phone lines, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Phil is next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Phil. Oh, of course. Yeah. Perfect timing. Hey, Phil, yeah. you want us to, like...
We could, timing, you know what?
Yeah, you want to go answer that?
Then no, like, I just hung up on him.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was kind of rude.
Anyway.
Why don't you just leave it off the hook?
We'll be. Well, I just need to just cut it off, and maybe let's you know, and this is.
All right.
I like Tennessee basketball this year, you know.
Yeah. How was your weekend, what? Phil?
Good. It was good. I was hearing the Willie the Great there. I wish I'd given their 20-minute segment to have been kind of fun, you know.
I feel like we gave him the appropriate amount of time.
It's kind of funny now he's aligned with Utah now. It's a scary combination.
What a heel turn.
Who else in that camp right now out of the people we know? Utah, Willie.
I know.
Are you Phil?
I mean, like.
No, I mean, all honest, I don't want Phil Fulmer to hire a basketball coach. I mean, we'll go from bad to worse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Rick Barnes ain't that bad. I mean, at the worst, he's probably the third best coach in Tennessee history. So, said a lot for what we've had, all the garbage coaches we've had, you know, around here.
What's so funny? I don't understand. Why are you guys?
This is why he said that.
Crack it up.
Said what? He said something about Rick Barnes isn't that bad.
He's not that bad. He is kind of bad.
I think he's a little stubborn and slow to change. And I think he's a little arrogant. I think that's part of his problem.
Just doesn't want to admit when he's wrong, right? I mean, like you – it's like, dude, everybody in the world knows you should have called timeout the other day during that run. I could have gone over to Dean Hill Rec Center Saturday morning and found not even kidding – and found six coaches of 8 and under girls basketball that would realize when you're watching an 18-point lead evaporate right in front of you on the road – with about 10 minutes to go, you call timeout to try and stop the momentum. You call two timeouts if you have to. And like the whole, well, we're waiting for the TV timeout, the under eight timeout. You see.
Under eight, it's going to be over.
Well, good coaches do this all the time. Mike Krzyzewski does this all the time. You go ahead and call timeout. You get two timeouts. And you completely disrupt the momentum of the game because you'll have time. The timeout you call, the crowd settles down. Maybe they try and get back into it. Then you immediately have another timeout after another 30 seconds, minute of play, and that will completely kill a rally. Go ahead and call the timeout, man, and completely change the game. And it's just it's frustrating.
Well, we all knew this was going to be a trying year, but I didn't know it'd be this bad.
Phil, we talked about it all summer. I'm pretty sure that I was in the minority as far as people that expected this team to go to the NCAA tournament. You were pretty adamant that we'd be on the bubble at best. And, you know, most people felt like this team was not going to be an NCAA tournament team. I think it's just frustrating because you lost to Pearl the other day. I think that's the root of it.
Well, it does. It's like, you know, it's like a sore on your hand, you can't get it off, you know what?
I mean, if we had lost on the road to Arkansas, blown a big lead against Eric Musselman, yeah, it would have hurt, and we'd probably be critical of the coaching staff and everything. But when you lose to Bruce Pearl, just everything is ratcheted up a notch.
Someday you got to get over it.
That's true. Well, is he going to recruit his way out of it? Is he going to improve his coaching? I guess only time will tell.
I think Tennessee's set up to be just fine over the next 2 to 3 years, as long as you keep this going.
Well, they're getting up with top 100 players now.
Try to get Banchero, try to get Kennedy Chandler, get these guys back on campus.
I hear Banchero and Smith. Chandler, they're a package.
Chandler was at Kentucky this past weekend.
Yeah. He did not look good in blue.
No,
he
didn't.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah. Poor young man. It's going to be interesting to see, Phil. I mean, everybody listening to this knows we're going to be much better next year. We're going to be in the tournament. Doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't guarantee that you'll make it to the Final Four. Doesn't guarantee you'll make it to the Sweet 16. But we, as you just said, we knew this year was going to be tough. We knew it was going to be challenging. And to add on to the challenges that we knew, the challenges that we didn't know, we lost our best player. And Josiah James has been hurt all year long. It's just been a difficult year, and you know it stinks because we're kind of limping towards the finish here, and we've got a chance to get into the tournament, but it really doesn't look like it's going to happen, and that's frustrating.
Why is everybody so surprised? Like, that's what I'm confused. Why is everybody so surprised? Now they're upset when stuff like this happens. You knew it was going to be a rebuilding year. This team wasn't going to be anywhere close to what last year was. So now everybody wants to get mad at Barnes, but why are you surprised?
Because it's about $5 million a year. That's the reason why people are mad, Trey.
What? Say it again.
$5 million.
The UCLA and the $5 million a year. That's another reason.
I mean, that's it. In the games that we've lost, we shouldn't have lost. We shouldn't have lost Saturday. But you shouldn't lose when you have a 17-point lead.
Here's my thing with the $5 million a year. Here's my thing with that. First of all, like, I don't understand why you begrudge any man for making as much money as he possibly can.
Yeah, it's getting worn out.
Second of all, and maybe this is the more valid criticism of that criticism, is he was like, when we decided to give him that money, we already knew this year was going to be what it was going to be. It's not like we gave him that money and then he went out there and changed something up that messed it up. The only guy that he could have gotten was Kerry Blackshear.
Right.
Right? That's the
only.
They could
have got Jalen Cohn. They could have got Jalen Cohn and Blackshear, and we would be going through all this.
But the Cohn.
Of course, we wouldn't have got Discovery then if Jalen Cohn had come here.
But he committed before the season ended, right? That happened in the middle of the season last year, correct?
Yeah,
it was after the season Cohn committed.
He could have signed, you know, I'm not to beat a dead horse, but he could have signed the Glover kid, and that would have helped us definitely.
Well, I agree.
On Allen
Ball. In hindsight, they should have taken Glover over Pember, because Pember, I don't think he's ever going to do anything over there.
Really? Were you hanging up on Pember already?
No, I think the reason I would have picked Glover is Glover was going to be more immediate help than Pember.
My point, though, is, like, I guess you could have not given him the money and watched him walk and started over with, you know, Steve Forbes. I think we all would have been comfortable with bringing
him in. Well, I hired Forbes, you know what?
Well, that's very possible. But you gave him the money, and I think pretty much everybody wanted to keep him except for a very, very small minority of fans. We all were glad that we caught him, that we got to keep him, but we knew that this year was going to be tough. We knew what we were losing. We knew that we didn't have a ton of impact guys coming in. We knew what we were setting up for. So why does it change now? Why do everybody get so angry?
I think it's because we didn't expect it to be this bad.
It's not this bad,
though. I
think
we did.
It's not. I mean, everybody's acting like Tennessee's 9-17.
I mean, it's
not. Look around the country. I mean, you want to see bad? Go look at Missouri, Vanderbilt. Teams like that, this is not that bad. Look at Georgia. Georgia got the number one player in the nation, and they got two SEC wins on the season.
Trey, we lost a 17-point lead to our former coach.
Okay,
it's driving everybody nuts,
there's
man.
There's a reason why Auburn's number 12 in the country. Auburn's good. It's a good basketball team.
We're Tennessee fans, and we always have these unrealistic expectations. Always. And last year is the reason why we think this year is so bad. And I see the injuries and the people that have left. I get all that. But the casual Tennessee fan, they think, oh, we went to the Sweet 16 last year with this amazing team. Why aren't we doing that again this year? We're paying him so much money. That's the casual fan is seeing that now. We on the show, we can be critical of a coach without not liking the coach.
Yeah. I mean, Buck Pearl was criticized a lot when he was here, too. I mean, people don't remember it. I mean, he blew a big lead to Ohio State in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
But Buck Pearl went to the tournament every damn year. That's the damn difference.
I think we all expected at least to get into the tournament this year without a problem. That's
well,
what I thought.
No.
I didn't know they were going to make the NIT.
I thought we were going to make the tournament, but I thought it was going to be a struggle. I do not think everybody thought that. I think a lot of people – I think if you – and we did polls about this over the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys remember? Like, I think most people did not think we were going to the NCAA tournament.
No, because they realized what you lost last year. Even the casual basketball fan realizes you lost Kyle Alexander, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams, Jordan Bone.
I mean, Russell, me and you said obvious. We expected them to make the tournament.
Yes.
Expected, but didn't think it was going to be easy or given.
But when you see the way they play before Christmas, like the Memphis game, and after the Wisconsin game.
I mean, nobody expected
It was
bad. Lamonte to go out with that compartment injury.
If Lamonte Turner is healthy and playing to his ability,
we win
this
Saturday.
Team,
we're 27 right now.
Yeah, we've won 20 games already. We're playing for seeding.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But everybody wants to continue taking it out on Barnes.
I'm not taking the whole season out on Barnes.
Everybody wants to say, he made $5 million. This should be a tournament team. Hey, man, you get the dealt the hand that's given. You lost two players. You got two midterm enrollees. I mean, who would have thought any of this would have gone on this season? Be lucky you're not Georgia. Be lucky you're not Vanderbilt or Missouri.
Well, I think that's the thing is long-term Tennessee basketball fans who can take a 10,000-foot view of this realize, is Rick Barnes the best coach in the country? No. Is Bruce Pearl a better coach than Rick Barnes? Yeah, probably. Maybe another 10 better coaches in the country than Rick Barnes? Yes, but we've seen worse coaches at Tennessee. We see worst coaches in the league right now. And, hey, man, you don't always get to have the best guy in the league, but you've got a dang good one right now, and we're going to be better next year. And I think most people are okay with that at the end of the day. Phil, wrap up for us.
All right. Thank goodness we don't have a Konzo. That's all I'm saying.
There you go.
Oh, man. Let's squeeze a call from Austin. Austin, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Trey, you were saying at least we're not Georgia. Can you remind me of the score of the Georgia game this year?
Yeah, Georgia whipped Tennessee's ass.
Yeah, and then
they also have the number one player in the country and two SEC wins.
I mean, you just talked about how horrible they are. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't get why people have this urge to be the fan police. I mean, it's okay to criticize a coach. It doesn't mean people want him fired. But I think the biggest thing for me is you just continue to kind of see him make the same mistakes, whether it's not taking timeouts on when the other team is making a big run or just the way he manages the roster or talks about – he seems to take the same approach with every single player that struggles on his roster. And, I mean, I just that doesn't give you a lot of faith as far as him making a deep run next year. I feel like a lot of the people who are just glossing over all the coaching mistakes he's made this year are just assuming that we're guaranteed a deep run next year. But, I mean, honestly, just – the last few games, the last two Saturdays, I mean, that doesn't really give me a whole lot of confidence that he's going to turn things around and make some deep run or change things that he needs to change next year.
Austin, you don't think – but last year's team, you don't think the veterans that he had on his team made up for some of the coaching mistakes that Rick Barnes made? He had five guys he could trust last year completely.
If you're someone that's going to, like, totally gloss over every mistake that he makes, I hope you give the players 100% of the credit if they do make a run next year. I mean, you can't just – not criticize the coach ever when things are going bad and then give him 100% of the credit when things are going good either.
I mean, I'll criticize Rick that he didn't have Admiral on the floor in a couple of key overtimes last season. Admiral didn't just take himself out and stay.
Off the court relationship with my point earlier about the way he handled some players. I don't think things were 100% peachy between he and Admiral last year, and I just think somebody mentioned earlier that he may be a little arrogant. He's been coaching so long, he thinks he knows best, and I think he could potentially manage relationships with his players better. I mean, I don't think it's good for the locker room when you come out and say in a press conference that it doesn't matter if I was taking a timeout, these guys wouldn't have done it right anyway. I mean, what does that say about you as a coach, too, if you would admit that?
And then in that moment, the timeout wouldn't have been to make sure the guys get it right. It's to stop Auburn's momentum, to stop their run that they're on. I mean, good grief. There's more reasons to take a timeout other than just for your team to do something right.
I do think that it would go along if he had come out today and said, man, you know, we watched the film. I wish I called timeout, and next time I will. And, like, I realize fans would, you know, that wouldn't make everything copacetic. Some fans would still be mad. I, for one, would feel a lot better about that. But this, like, you know, I'm just too good for criticism it's vibe like that he sometimes gets off is
Butch
a little
Jones-esque.
Bit.
Butch Jones-esque. A little bit. He would never take responsibility for anything, right? And we just wanted him to take responsibility.
Yeah. Austin, we got to run, man. Thanks for the phone call. Quick timeout. Back with more after this.
The Drive. This is The Drive.
I mean, really, so much of it is the Pearl issue, right?
Yeah. It's Pearl. People wouldn't be nearly as pissed at Coach Barnes right now this week. And right. We'd be willing to cut him the slack. But Pearl, man. You know, over their career, they've had some epic showdowns.
Why couldn't he just take a wait for a Big 12 or a Big 10 job? Pac-12 or something. Why'd he have to go to Auburn of all places, man?
I don't know. But he did. That's not the first time Rick Barnes has lost a huge lead to Bruce Pearl. Fortunately for us, the last time it happened, the shooting, we had Bruce.
Yeah.
I
do remember that one. That was
when
Chris Lofton rose up and swallowed
that shot from the locker
Kevin
room.
Kevin Durant's soul. Ugh.
That one, I bet that one still wakes Kevin Durant up in a cold sweat at night.
That was tough.
Did you read the article that when they talked about what Pearl did at halftime of the game Saturday? Kicked everyone out of the locker room.
I don't want to even hear it. No. We don't need to talk.
Okay, I want to hear. What did he do? He kicked everyone out of the locker room and like dressed them down
and just
lit
destroyed.
Into
them.
Just lambasted them.
Yeah, they said the things that were being said in there and screamed that you could hear but echoing through the halls.
We weathered that storm though. Like they came out and made some plays, but we were playing we increased the lead up to 17. Like they cut it down and then we pushed it back up. Their run didn't start really until the 12-minute mark, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I talked about it Saturday that we don't know how to win a game when we have a big lead like that against a team like that. Like when we're beating a team that's good, we don't know how to keep that lead. We tighten up, we get scared. No one wants to shoot the ball. No one wants to take ownership of it. And so we end up passing it around for 28 seconds, and then someone throws up a shot.
Tennessee was up 60-57 at the 5:18 mark of the second half.
So by 3 points.
Yeah, but the run at all, I mean,
that run was in the middle. Yeah,
it was over.
When they cut it down to three, I knew we were going to lose.
Fourth on gains, and Tennessee hadn't scored in 7 minutes.
Yeah, at that point, we're like Deontay Wilder and that, getting caught up against the ropes.
At the under 16,
Bruce kept bashing us in the face.
Yeah, and the thing is, if Rick throws in the towel, like the fight doesn't stop. We get to go and gather ourselves.
Well, the thing is, Tennessee was up 52-37 at the under 16 break. That's when everything started going. The next 2 minutes after that, started swinging the other way. Well, after Tennessee Pearl. Got up 18.
It's Pearl, man.
Have some.
Let me ask. Just us talking, all right, guys? Pretend like there aren't millions around the globe listening to this show.
Again, are you for real?
They aren't asking.
It's ridiculous.
Listening live or via the podcast.
I'm about to excuse myself.
You don't even know what I'm going to ask. Would you take him back?
Who?
If the basketball gods came down out of the sky and said, all right, Tennessee fan, we'll give you Pearl back. Rick Barnes, he's going to exit stage left. You don't have to feel bad about it. We're giving you Pearl back. He might break your heart again. Like, you don't know. I mean, you're getting Bruce Pearl. Like, and everything that goes along with it. Take it back.
I'll go first. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, but you're a little younger, John. You don't understand how much there is to lose in this life, in this world, this crazy college basketball thing.
He didn't do like a Top Fuel dragster burnout on your heart.
You'd take him back. Bear, would you take him back?
You can't remember all the arguments.
You can't say no, can you? You don't want to say yes, but you can't say no.
No, I'll say yes.
You take it, really?
I'd take him back in a heartbeat. He can bring his idiot kid with him. I'd take Stephen F. and Pearl, too. Bring them both back. I don't care. Bring me sweaty Bruce Pearl, sweating through a suit, winning basketball games.
But Bear.
Having strokes on the sideline.
Rick Barnes has led so many kids who've come through this program to the Lord the past couple of years. He's changed so many lives. You ask the people in that building.
I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care.
You don't care?
No. Do you remember how good it felt?
You don't care that Jordan Bowden and Kyle Alexander were saved because of their relationship with Rick Barnett. That means nothing to you?
Saved from what?
Eternal damnation, man.
Oh, I don't know about all that part of it. I'm just talking basketball, Russ.
I'm talking about the whole damn thing.
And I want
my
basketball Jesus back. I want Bruce Pearl back. I want him in that sweaty suit. You think he would have let somebody go on an 18-0 run? You think he would have let that go on?
Yes, yes, because I saw it happen. I saw it happen in the Sweet 16 his second year.
He learned from that, Russ. He made an Elite Eight in the Final Four at freaking Auburn. They suck at basketball.
Can't believe you.
Until they hoodwinked us and stole our coach.
Can't believe
Mike Slav and the rest of the Bama Mafia.
Is it bad to ask? Would that be classless? Would people kill us if we made that the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day?
I mean, they think we're awful anyhow. Go ahead and put it out there. I mean, maybe not you, but...
I mean, it shouldn't reflect on... it. I don't know. It's just a question. I bet you it'd be about 50-50.
I think, well,
yeah. No, it might be more. More people might want to take him back. Is it in an anonymous poll? Like, it's one thing. I mean, it's pretty brave of you guys to on this show with put your names on it and say you would take him back. I think in an anonymous poll, when people get behind the curtain and have a chance to pull the lever for their coach, I think that a lot of people would take Bruce back. Maybe a majority.
But it'd be 90-10.
They would take him back?
If you put him in a voting booth and nobody would ever know what they pulled,
yeah,
then everybody could say, yeah, I don't know what those other nine people are thinking.
Can I go back to like the crazy ex-girlfriend analogy that we always like to use?
I don't care, man.
It's I feel like we're looking at her. We just had a big fight with our wife, right?
Yeah.
A knockdown drag out.
Yeah.
And like
it's over money, probably.
She's a good woman.
You can't sleep in the same bed, so you went. You're in the couch, and like you can't get to sleep, so you went down to your box in the garage where you keep all like, you know the box, right? And you're looking at the picture of the crazy ex, and you're remembering the good times. You're not thinking about the time she threw all your stuff out on the front lawn and set it on fire with the lighter fluid and everything, or she started like flirting with your friends and stuff. Like, you're not thinking about that. You're just thinking about that weekend in Cozumel, and like
you forget about
where you didn't leave the room. Like that's all you're thinking about right now. And you just
damn
fight.
Maybe that's all I'm thinking about. What do you want me to think about? I'm not thinking about the old lady upstairs. I'm thinking about that hot ass girlfriend I had a good time with. Took me places I'd never been before, Russ. What the hell are you talking about? My God, man. I love Bruce Pearl.
Jeez. Forget about that barbecue where she invited all your friends over.
Yeah. Made a fool of you.
Yeah.
She's sorry.
Well, I bet she is. Quick break. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. I'm pretty surprised at you, Bear. I kind of expected that of John Tyler. I know Trey's being pretty quiet right now. He didn't want to get involved in this one.
Nope, not touching it.
Hayden, would you take Bruce back?
Thumbs up.
Of course he would.
Thumbs up.
Of course he would. Wow.
He's a winner.
Look at you guys. No loyalty. No loyalty to the guy. The guy that got you to number one last year for an entire month. About 3.5 weeks longer than Bruce got you there. Quick timeouts, The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Trigger warnings. No participation trophies. This is The Drive.
We got a lot of nice girls.
Oh, man. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. I said earlier today he's going to be able to have his victory lap, so. Jamie, the floor is yours.
Well, I'll tell you what, Russ, I've never been more proud of Bear and finally taking the sheepskin off and admitting, what we all already know. But you know what? It was I didn't quite catch your response.
All right. Here's my response, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. You take him back, Jamie.
Of course I'd take him back. Of course I would. Right. I would. But listen.
Love it.
Life isn't a fantasy world, okay? Life isn't a fantasy. Like, life is messy, and this is life. then there's no world in which Bruce Pearl comes back. The one where you and I are talking to now, you know, the sun will come up tomorrow. There will be a dawn. Like, that's not reality, man. It'll never happen. And we have a pretty damn good coach. And
I'm fine with that. Post-Shiano Sunday? You say all this post-Shiano Sunday.
What does Greg Schiano have to do with this?
You don't remember what this fan base was able to do on Shiano Sunday?
Jamie, that's apples and oranges. There's no way that we could reinstall Bruce Pearl. Are you seriously thinking about like some sort of violent Tennessee basketball revolution?
Were the seeds of the revolution planted? I saw that. So I can't remember where I read this. Were the seeds of the revolution
freaking Bernie Sanders over here
planted on them not telling the NCAA?
What are you talking about, man? There's no way that Bruce Pearl's coming back.
No, I mean, what happened on that Sunday with the Shiano Sunday?
Oh, God.
I think a lot of it had to do with a big part of it was when they didn't stand up for Pearl and they went ahead and fired him when we all didn't want him fired.
It had nothing to do with it.
Goodness gracious, Jimmy High. I mean, Russell, this is ridiculous. Go and say it, Russell Smith. What the hell is wrong with you, man?
What do you think? What do you think we're going to do? What do you think could possibly happen for us to get Bruce Pearl reinstalled as tenant? What the hell are you guys smoking?
After Shiano Sunday, nothing's off the table. Nothing is off the table, man. If you get behind
nothing,
this
Russell.
Fan base, if you try to get behind instead of getting in the pen with the herd, maybe we can hang a banner. And you say there's no world. It's a fantasy land. You're out of your mind. You realize that if we would have hired David Blackburn instead of Philip Fulmer, at athletic director, you know who our basketball coach would be today?
Who?
Probably Steve Bruce Forbes. Pearl. Bruce Pearl, you think?
Yes. Yeah, no. And look.
What are you talking about?
Russell, you asked me the other day, how do I know that he would come back? You mean to tell you straight up how I know that he would come back?
Well,
you don't have to tell us. He would.
Wait, no, nobody's arguing with that, Jamie.
Like, Russ could call him up right now, Jamie, like, hey, Bruce, Tennessee wants you back. You coming? And if it checked,
he'd walk here.
Like, I got to take care of some things, and then you could pick me up.
Stop egging him on, Bear. Jamie, you're stark raving mad right now, buddy.
Let me try to sneak out before the FBI sees me.
Hey, look, the whole room is – look, here's the problem, Russ. The only one that thinks I'm stark raving mad right now is you.
You better start making some sense, Jamie, because I'll give you your victory lap.
No, give me my lap. Get your hand off the toilet.
Get your hands out of the freaking straight, Jay. You're sitting in a padded room right now talking crazy talk. What are you doing?
I don't know what you consider crazy talk. This fan base moves mountains. And you know it.
All right. Well, we'll send John Reed down with the bullhorn to stand outside. Get out of here. What the hell are you talking about, man? Bruce Pearl's never coming back. Never going to happen.
And I'm kind of sad because of that fact. Well, is it all right to be sad, Russell?
You can be sad, but you also have to accept it, man.
You not be a little bit pissed that Auburn was able to pull this off?
Yes, you could be sad. You could be pissed. You could be all of those things. But it's not like...
Every time Bruce Pearl does something good in life, Tennessee fans go, man, he could have been doing it here. Wish he was doing it here. Man, oh, man, I fire my coach in a heartbeat to bring
it here. I don't think any of us talk in that accent, Trey.
Bring us here.
It's kind of hard not to when you look at all the players that were behind it with Slav and all the rest of them.
Been gone 6 years, man. Well, I'd be like, let's bring Fulmer back. All that stupid, crazy talk earlier in the football season.
Don't go in on Coach Fulmer again, Trey.
You're not going in on Coach Fulmer.
Kind of got in the habit of it now.
And it's been 10 years since Bruce is gone, and y'all need to let him go.
10 years.
It's over. It's even worse. It's over. Hour number three, coming up. The Drive.